Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Well, today we begin a new study on the Beacon Broadcast, and we are going to take up another Old Testament book, and this time the book of Ecclesiastes. Having successfully made our way through the book of Malachi, and then, I trust, successfully made our way through the book of Obadiah. It may not have been to everybody's satisfaction, but nevertheless, we did our best to expound the book of Obadiah. I now want to take up the book of Ecclesiastes, which is another challenging book, to be sure. It is puzzling in many ways. It seems very pessimistic at times, and worse than that, there are elements of it that appear to be contradictory. But the book of Ecclesiastes appears to take a dim view of life. Vanity, vanity, all is vanity. Some of the statements in the book appear to contradict other scriptures. And there are, as I've already said, parts of Ecclesiastes that even seem to contradict other statements in Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes is, I am aware, a favorite book of atheists and agnostics and critics and cults. Some of the cults draw their proof texts, many of their proof texts, from the book of Ecclesiastes. And all of this makes it a very challenging book to study and to comprehend. And yet, it is part of our Bible. It is one of the 66 inspired books that God has given and preserved and presented to us as His infallible Word. But what does it mean, and what is its purpose? And that's what we will endeavor, to discover as we make this journey together. I trust you will join with me. You're with me today on this Tuesday, June 23rd. Thank you. And some of you are grateful enough for the Bible teaching on the Beacon Broadcast to help us with the financial cost, and that's very, very important. But we're going to plunge in and endeavor to understand this book. Let me just read a few verses at the beginning. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit has a man from all his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away, and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises, and the sun goes down, and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. To the place from which the rivers come, there they return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there's nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things which are to come by those who will come after. I'll stop there. That's the first 11 verses. All right. Well, before we plunge into the text, looking at the verses one by one, let me give you something of an overview. First of all, an overview of the entire book, and then an overview of chapter 1. I believe that the purpose for the writing of Ecclesiastes is to investigate the meaning of life. That's what Solomon is doing. He has done it, and he's writing the results of his investigation, and guided by the Holy Spirit and what he wrote, he writes truth, divine truth as it comes from God, inspired by God, preserved by God, presented to us by God, so that we too will investigate the meaning of life, some of the very same elements which Solomon investigated. Now, how does Solomon go about this? What's the plan for the book? Well, you'll find that it is a series of explorations into the most significant elements of human existence, with observations and conclusions inserted along the way, and again at the end. And here are some of the primary areas of investigation, some of the primary areas of life and the meaning of life that Solomon investigated for his own satisfaction. There are areas such as the value of wisdom and knowledge. This has to do, of course, with the realm of the mind. There is the value of human pleasure, sensual enjoyment, and other areas of human pleasure. He explored the value of material possessions, wealth, and what its value is, and also the value of human labor. How to acquire things through human labor and to achieve personal satisfaction from human labor. Now, these are some of the areas that he investigated, and we will come to these one by one and look at what he explored and what he concluded, and hopefully we'll learn some things for ourselves in the process. This is a book of divine wisdom, and those who study it carefully will become more wise. And so the goal of this book is to understand what most contributes to a meaningful life. That certainly has some value, wouldn't you agree? If we can understand what most contributes to a meaningful life, and to determine what is detrimental to satisfaction in life. Again, that's also important. If we can understand what contributes to a meaningful life and what's detrimental to satisfaction in life, so that we can focus on those things which give meaning to life and avoid those things which are detrimental to life and to being satisfied with our lives, then we will be a long ways down the road ahead of many people who sometimes have to learn all these things the hard way, and some get caught in the quagmire of some of these things and never get out. They never learn. They not only don't learn the hard way, they don't learn at all. One of the books that I have studied, that I've consulted in the book of Ecclesiastes, was written by Richard DeHaan. That's a name that some of you will recognize. And it's entitled The Art of Staying Off of Dead-End Streets. The Art of Staying Off Dead-End Streets. You understand what he's saying? He says the book of Ecclesiastes is written so that you can avoid those areas of life that some people go down and realize that they shouldn't have gone down that way. That way ends at a dead end. It goes nowhere. It produces nothing. It's wasted time. It's wasted effort. And how good it would have been if they had realized that before they went that road and spent all that time and energy and effort only to wind up at a dead end. And so Richard DeHaan entitles his short, it's a very brief commentary on the book of Ecclesiastes, He entitles it The Art of Staying Off Dead-End Streets. I think the very title of his book helps explain what I'm talking about as I'm trying to give you an overview of what I believe this book contains. Now let's consider Chapter 1, and I read just the first 11 verses, but let me tell you what's in Chapter 1. First, I'll give you an overview of the whole chapter, and then we'll go back and look at the different sections. You have first an introduction, verse 1. We'll look at that in a moment. Second, you have the opening discourse. You might call this the preface, and that's verses 2 through 11. And so I read all of those. I read verse 1, I read verses 2 through 11, and that's the second section of chapter 1. Third, you have the second discourse. There's first the opening discourse, or the first discourse, verses 2 through 11. And then there's the second discourse, verses 12 through 18, and that is to examine human wisdom. And that takes us to the end of chapter 1. And after that, of course, we move into chapter 2. So I'm not going to go any farther than that. We won't even get anywhere close to that today. But what we'll find in chapter 1 are some very memorable statements, some scientifically insightful statements. You may have noticed that when I read through it a moment ago. Some things about the solar circuit, the Earth going around the sun, and of wind circuits, and of the water cycle. There are a lot of things here that we understand today as modern science and were stated by Solomon hundreds of years before Christ. Furthermore, there are a lot of philosophically insightful statements, not only scientifically insightful statements, but philosophically insightful statements. And I will not go through all of those now, but, well, maybe I will. He tells us that there's nothing new. Everything is being recycled. Now, he's not speaking of technology and inventions, but of ideas, of insights into life, of philosophies. Everything has been presented before. There's nothing new. It only seems new because we forget what has been stated before. We fail to learn from what has been presented before. But he says there's nothing new under the sun. That's a wisdom statement. But he also tells us that new is not necessarily better. In fact, what we think is new is probably not even new. It is usually something previously tried and discarded for a reason, but here are people who haven't learned from the past and from what others have learned and have recorded for those who will take time to explore it, but instead they simply repeat the same dead ends that people went through in the past. Well, that's what we're going to be looking at in Chapter 1, and obviously that's as far as we're going to get on the broadcast today. But some of the things that we're going to see coming out of Chapter 1 is the accuracy of Scripture, the value of study, and the folly of neglecting God. And those aren't bad things, are they? Sometimes people look at the book of Ecclesiastes and they say, well, I don't see any important truth here, any godly truth, any spiritual truth that can be helpful to me. Yeah, I think so. You certainly don't think that the accuracy of Scripture is not important, or the value of studies is not important, or that the folly of neglecting God is a truth that needs to be proclaimed. So this is where we're going. Please join me again tomorrow. Until then, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.